God has allowed for the papacy of Rome down through the years in that it really did have to do with the church in the earth. In a typical sense, God made allowance for it in that the Gentile church was to come into his presence under grace until he could get a bride for his son. But the days of the Gentiles were at an end. When that papacy of Rome went out that we spoke of, Pope Paul, that ended it. That was the finishing up of the days of the Gentiles. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean nobody else can be saved? No, that isn't what I mean. I mean that that was the very beginning of God completely closing out with the Gentile people. And as far as I'm concerned and what I understand, people who have not come to God have very slim chance from here out. You might say, Brother Pike, I know a lot of people that's repenting and crying and coming to God. I know a lot of people that's repenting and crying and coming to God, and as soon as they get away, they go right back into the world, into their charismatic order. They are not coming to God. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but found no place of repentance, in that the birthright was already gone. You look at your revivals today, and you'll see hundreds and thousands of people coming in Billy Graham's crusade and Old Robert's crusades and many others. But you don't find very many of them coming to God. They only come and cry and line up religiously and go back and do the very same thing that they've always done in the world. You've got some overseas in the heathen places, among the heathens, that are still coming to Jesus. And even that is becoming a gimmick in that country. I know because I get some papers from over there. I get some letters from over there. And they're letting me in on a few things. We go over occasionally and I find out that even that is turning into a gimmick. I could relate some things to you tonight that they're doing in those countries that I happen to know about. It's almost unbelievable, but it's true. They've confessed it with their own lips. So then it means that things have come to a close. The long drawn out day of humanity has come to a close. And with this Pope going in, to me it makes it very clear that now he, the Pope, being the head, brings about the power of the communistic beast. Whereas you check, if you check the book of Revelation, you find that the feet that carried the beast was bare, which goes back to Russian communism. That power coming in, that leader coming in, indicates that the great Hoa has come to her headship, which is the beast. And that the beast will be carrying her. You understand what I'm saying? There's a complete changeover because America has in the past carried the church. Because America is typically a type of the virgin. And she's carried the church. But from the time that I spoke of the man-child being born, being caught up to the throne, which was the mind of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, everything has made a change. I said when Betty and I went up to Congress, up here to Washington, that everything in the entire universe will make a change, and it has. It's made a change, a radical change. So then, it is evident that she has lined up just perfect for the things that we understood. Billy, having to do with the prophetical side of it, is not an American evangelist anymore, but is wholeheartedly accepted by the communistic people and is a world evangelist. Now, if what he is doing is right, and I say this again, the fear of God, if what he is doing is right, then I do not understand the scripture where it speaks of compassing land and sea to make a proselyte, And after that you've made him, he is twofold more the child of hell than he was to start with. I do not know what a proselyte is. Who then is the proselyte? If you can believe in one God or three gods or voodooism or communism or capitalism or anything you want to, who then is the proselyte? Where then is the proselyte? Somebody has got to be guilty. Somebody has got to be guilty. I still believe in what the Holy Scripture tells us, where it speaks of serving the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I believe it's just that way. Whether it's Brother Pike or Billy Graham or Oral Roberts, or whether it's any other preacher or any other evangelist, you cannot alter and change the Word of God. The Bible said if you change one thing here or break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so, ye shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. But if you keep these commandments and you teach men so, ye shall be called great in the kingdom of God. The Bible speaks of John and it says that he was great in the sight of God. All right, I want to read just a little bit from the book of Romans, if you've got your Bibles. You can read with me. Beginning down at the 8th verse of the 1st chapter, the book of Romans. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, here in reading this to me, I see something. I don't know just exactly how you feel, but I see something here that perhaps you don't see. When we think about sin, all we think about is killing somebody. We say, I'm not a murderer. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed anybody. And to us, if we get past those things, we feel like that we have really done a good job of overcoming. But when you read here in the book of Romans, and you see that the Bible speaks of being covetous, of maliciousness, it speaks of being full of envy, full of debate, full of deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, and on and on and on. When we see these things, it makes us to know that there's more to salvation and religion than we're understanding. If you'll notice, to begin with, the 18th verse said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So then we've got the terms ungodliness, we've got the terms unrighteousness. Now I know to murder a man, that's being unrighteous. Isn't that right? To steal, to kill, is being unrighteous. But it says here that God is displeased if we are ungodly, that we should be godly. It doesn't just say unrighteousness, but it says that we have, or tells us, that we have a standard that we are to keep. And that standard is godliness. He says to add to your faith godliness. Godliness. So then, just to tell somebody to make a confession by faith is not sufficient. Are you listening? Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I make a confession of faith, then I am a Christian. If you make a true confession of faith, you are a Christian. But the proof of a true confession of faith is that you will order your life according to the Holy Scriptures and walk in the faith of the Word. If you do not obey the Word, if you're not walking in the faith of the Word, you have no proof that you have made a confession of faith. To come before a sacred desk, or to come before an evangelist or some pastor or some priest and just say, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, I accept Him as my personal Savior, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not mean that you are a Christian. To come before the altars or to get somewhere and begin to cry and pray and begin to weep, and then to arise from that place and say, I am a Christian, that doesn't mean that you are a Christian. The Bible tells us that Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but found no place of repentance, in that he'd already sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. So then, it means that there is more to serving God than just making what we call a confession of faith. The Bible said, if thou canst believe in thine heart and then confess with thy lips, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the lips man confess unto salvation. He makes his confession. Christ is the high priest of our confession. But the confession of faith, not the confession of words. Though we have to confess our faith in words, yet we can speak as a form of confession and not have any faith at all. Because the Bible tells us that with their lips they serve me, but their heart is far from me. That is a positive proof that you can make a confession with your lips and not know anything about salvation. Not know anything about God. 10,000 people could come up and make a confession before me or any other minister, and it wouldn't do them a bit of good. But one person may come up and make a confession from their heart in faith in God and become a Christian. Is that right? So then, herein, in the Holy Scriptures, herein is the salvation of God revealed and the righteousness of God from faith to faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So then, when I say that I am a just man and I am living by faith, what I mean is that I am putting away all covetousness, all wickedness, all envy, all strife, all pride, all of my boasting, all of those things that are unlike Christ. That is faith in the Word. If I'm not doing that, then I'm not putting away anything that's ungodly, and I am not Christian. I have not made a confession of faith, because my confession of faith is not my words, but my deeds that are in harmony with the Word of God. If my deeds confess Christ, then I have the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that in the last days Antichrist will come. And when Antichrist comes, the Bible speaks of that day being an evil time. An evil day. Evil day. Now, I believe that we're living in that time. I believe that we're living in that hour when Antichrist has come. I believe that. The Bible tells us that if any man will not confess Christ in the Spirit, then that man is Antichrist. When we think of Antichrist, we think of just one individual, isn't that right? But when God speaks of Antichrist, he speaks of a membership, a body, a beast. If you fail to confess Christ, then you're Antichrist. You must confess Christ. So then you say, Brother Pike, I do confess Christ, but not with your lips. You must confess Christ with your heart. You must confess Christ with your heart. That is, your deeds must confess Christ. If any man deny that Christ has come in the flesh, he is an antichrist. That is, if any man's everyday activity, everyday endeavors through life, doesn't confess Christ in loyalty to living a holy life and living the Word of God, he is an antichrist. If my life doesn't confess in every deed, every desire, everything that I go to do, if it doesn't confess Christ Jesus, then I am an antichrist. My deeds must confess Christ. Everything that I go to do, it must be like Jesus. I must be like Jesus. I must talk like Jesus. I must think like Jesus. I must act like Jesus. I must live like Jesus. I must have the same desires that Jesus had. All of my ambitions must be for Jesus. If I do not have that, then I am an antichrist. If any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, a lot of people in the world today, they deny that Christ lives in the human temple. They feel that all you have to do is believe. They don't feel that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has to come on the inside and tabernacle in the human body. Those people are religious antichrists, because Christ himself must come into your heart. The only hope of glory there is Christ within you, the hope of glory. If Christ the Spirit is not in you, the Bible tells us that you are none of his. Is that right? If the Spirit of God is not in you, if my spirit is not in you, then you are none of mine. I must have the Spirit of God. If I have not the Spirit of God, I can believe all I want to, but I'm not a Christian. I must have the Spirit of God within me. Now, how do I know that I have the Spirit of God? Somebody would say, well, I feel the Spirit of God. That's not proof that you have the Spirit of God. The Bible said the rain comes on the just and on the unjust. If you were standing out in the shower and the rain come down, wouldn't you feel the rain? Could you stand in the water and in the downpour of the water of the rain and not feel it? You know you would feel it. The Bible said God will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. So then, because you feel the inspiration of God, that doesn't mean you have the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean that you have the Holy Ghost. You say, but Brother Pike, there's one other thing I do. I prophesy and I speak in tongues. Did you know that prophesying and speaking in tongues is no proof of the Holy Ghost? Now I know there's a lot of denominational churches in the world today. And I know that they use that for what they call the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. But that's not true. That's not Bible. You could prophesy and speak in tongues all you wanted to. That doesn't prove that you got the Holy Ghost. If prophesying and speaking in tongues proves that you've got the Holy Ghost, then Saul had the Holy Ghost. The Bible said he went up to Ramoth Gilead to kill David, had murder in his heart. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he prophesied. Somebody said, would say, Brother Pike, that was false prophecy. The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God came down. Those men were prophesying by God's Spirit. And when Saul got in the rain, he got wet just like everybody else. Not only that, but in speaking in tongues, when you get around people that speak in tongues, you will reflect that great spirit and that great inspiration, and you may just start speaking in tongues at any time. I've seen people that spoke in tongues, and you could tell that God's Spirit had come down. But those people that spoke in tongues done all kind of evil things. Now, do you expect me to believe that that is a child of God? God isn't going to receive anybody because they speak in tongues. Did you know that? Now, I want to get this over as clearly as I can. If I preach that tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost or God's Spirit dwelling within you, if I preach that, then I am not preaching salvation by faith, but I am preaching salvation by tongues. Somebody would say, well, you can't go to heaven without the Holy Ghost. I believe that. But the thing is, if you can't have the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues, then that means you're preaching that you cannot have salvation except you speak in tongues. That's contrary to God's word. God doesn't teach that. God teaches that I can have salvation by faith in God. And though I myself speak with tongues, though I myself prophesy, though I myself believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he spoke of praying in the Holy Ghost, building up our most holy faith. Yet he said, when I come into the midst of a people that needs understanding, I'd rather speak with understanding. So then I'll sing in the Spirit, I'll sing in understanding. I'll speak in the Spirit, I'll speak with my understanding that I might edify those that need to know. We must have God's Spirit on the inside of us. We've got to have God's Spirit. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. Not one Spirit and then another Spirit and then another Spirit. Somebody would say, well, you've got to get one Spirit and then after that, you get another Spirit. Somebody said, now Brother Pike, you have to be saved to begin with. And then after that, you have to be sanctified. And then after that, you have to be filled with the wonderful Spirit or the Holy Ghost of God. But that's not Bible. That isn't Bible. The Bible states that God has sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So then there's sanctification. How do I become heir to it? The Bible said the faith of Christ by which you are sanctified. Is that right? So then, I am sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. That took care of my sanctification. The Bible tells us that those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm justified by faith in God. And if I am sanctified by that faith of Christ, then I am for once and all clean and pure. And I am made ready for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And how do I get the Holy Ghost? All I have to do is just call upon the name of Jesus. For the Bible said, when he comes, he will come in my name. If I go away, I will send you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever. All I've got to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come into my heart. The Holy Spirit will fill me, and I will have the Spirit of God, and I will be a Christian. I will be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how do I do that? All in one great package. All I do is call on the name of Jesus Christ, and every bit of it just comes flowing down from heaven. Now, it might not come that way, but it can come that way. Now, I can believe. Just be a believer. Just be a believer that there is a God, but that don't make me have salvation. Is that right? Satan believes, but what he believes is he believes that there is a God. He believes that. But to be a believer doesn't mean that you believe there's a God, but it means that you believe in God, in the Holy Scriptures. He that abideth in me, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous flee into it, and they are saved. All a man has to do is be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. When he's baptized in the name of Jesus, he's got a promise of the Holy Spirit. God tells us in his word that the Holy Ghost will come in just as soon as we are baptized in the name of his Son. That all we've got to do is call upon the name of his Son, and that the Holy Spirit will come in. I know the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that takes more than just looking up and saying, Lord, Lord. If it doesn't take more than that, then I don't understand the scriptures. That tells us that many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he will say, depart from me that work iniquity, for I never knew you. I don't understand how it is that many can come in his name confessing that he is Christ. I don't understand that unless what I'm preaching is true. What I'm saying tonight is true. I have to have God's Spirit or I am an antichrist. I have to believe in a gospel that tells me that the Holy Ghost lives inside of a human temple, or I am antichrist. I cannot be a person that preaches a gospel that tells you that all you have to do is just believe and you are Christians. If I do that, I am an antichrist. What are we going to do with the scripture that tells us that we have not God's Spirit, we are none of his? You say, well, Brother Pike, if you believe you have God's Spirit, if that's true, then the devil has God's Spirit. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well, the devil believes. So then there's nothing to that at all, see? There can't be anything to that. You know, the devil can't be saved. I know we got a teaching somewhere. I run into it out in Los Angeles, California years ago, someplace where they're going to run the devil through the fire and bring him out for the good too. They're going to bring him out, though he's murdered and cheated and lied and swindled and done every low-down evil thing that there is, and no way to repent over it. But say never repented, no way to repent over it. He's the devil from the beginning until the time that he's bound in the bottomless pit, but somehow they're going to run him through, you know, and bring him out according to somebody's teachings. It's no wonder the world believes the way they do. If they believe the devil can be saved, then why not believe that everybody and everything can be saved? But you know what? I believe the word. The word said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. There is a righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? The Bible tells us that it's revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. What is the righteousness of God? The Bible said it is revealed from faith to faith. Now, if it's just faith, then why does the Scripture say from faith to faith? Why didn't the Scriptures just say it's revealed in faith? But it doesn't do that, does it? It says that it's revealed from faith to faith, which means that every word of God that is preached to me, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and every Scripture that is made known to me by the ministry, I must believe that from faith to faith until I catalog all of that in my heart and mind, and until I put my best foot forward, as we say, in the things of God, and I get rid of all unrighteousness, all fornication, all wickedness, all covetousness, all maliciousness, all envy, all debate, all deceit, all of my whispering, all of my backbiting, and on and on and on. That is the righteousness of God being revealed. Is that right? Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. I could say, well, I am a believer. I can whisper all I want to. What's that got to do with it? I am a believer. I can backbite all I want to. But the Bible said the backbiter shall not stand in the hills of God. I could say, I am a believer. What's that got to do with being proud or being having pride? But the Bible said here that they would be without natural affection, covenant breakers, that they would be proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That means that I could invent something that God was displeased with. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, a glorious invention. God wants all inventions. No, there's some things that God would rather just leave off. Somebody would say, but God created the world, Brother Pike. Everything in the world, God is proud of it. He's grateful for everything we do. But did you know that according to the Bible, the briars are a curse? The thorns are a curse? I've said this a number of times. Working is not a curse. How do you understand it? Working is not a curse. A lot of people want to quit work. They feel like working is a curse. Working is not a curse. Working is a privilege and a blessing. To be able to utilize our abilities, our understanding, our faculties. That's a blessing. God told Adam to do that. That's not a curse. The curse was upon the ground. Is that right? That it would bring forth thorns and thistles. And the sorrow of labor was that ye shall do it among the thorns and thistles. Just think now. What if you could build you a nice little home? And you knew that you was going to live with that little wife that you loved forever and ever and ever. And she was never going to die, and you were never going to die, you were never going to grow old. And all of your little children that you had, you'd never lose one of them, you'd never have any heartaches, never have to worry about anybody taking it, never have to worry about it burning down at night while you're asleep, never worry about a storm, an earthquake, or whatever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Somebody would say, well, that would be heaven. So then the curse isn't work. In the millennium, they're going to build. The Bible said they'll build houses. Others won't inhabit those houses. They'll plant their own vineyards. Others won't take their fruit. The Bible said they'll have their own cattle. And the lion shall lay down with the lamb. They'll eat straw together like the bullocks. You understand what I'm saying? The curse will be lifted. All of the briars and thorns and thistles will be gone. No pests to bother you, no mosquitoes and bugs and ants and whatever would distort or take away the convenience of mankind and the good, wonderful feeling and atmosphere of mankind. Nothing to disturb or to distort. Like having children, we spoke of it the other night. Having children is not a curse. The Bible tells us that children are a blessing from God. Said, blessed is the man that has his quiver full. likens them unto arrows. Isn't that right? They are a blessing from God. It is not a curse for a woman to bear children. The Bible doesn't speak of it being a curse. But the curse of it was that in sorrow shall you bring them forth. The same as the man through travail. Sorrow shall they be born. And even after they're born through travail, you bear chance of losing them before they're a year old. All these heartaches and sorrows and problems. But see, God blesses. He blesses. But he's not interested in everything that's in the earth, because there's some things that come with a curse. Some inventions come with a curse. Some of the things that are in the earth come by the curse. Is that right? All kind of deadly evils in the earth today, those things are from the curse. Satan is the one that does that. One of these days, the Bible speaks of a time when it says all of the earth shall be at peace. All of them shall be at peace. There won't be any trouble. There won't be any wars. There won't be any heartaches. Won't be any sorrows. You know why? The Bible says that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And they that are down in the bottomless pit, they shall look narrowly upon him and say, have you altogether become as one of us? Are you also contemptible and weak? You that cause all the nations to tremble? You that would not let your prisoners go free? Have you become like one of us? One of these days, God's going to bring him down. Now, if that is true, then that proves that God is good. You understand what I'm saying? Let's talk about it just a minute or two, and I'll let you go. God is good. What we need to do is to understand God. Then we would want salvation. We would search out to try to find out how to get salvation. We wouldn't take a substitute. We'd want the real thing. But see, we don't understand God. We've got the wrong concept of God. Did you know before you can ever get your healing, you've got to believe that God wants you healed? Have you agreed to that? Don't you know it's a useless battle? It's a useless struggle for you or for me to try to recover from some sickness, feeling that God doesn't want that, or feeling that God is chastening us, or that God has put some bad thing upon us because he's displeased with us. How are you ever going to get healed like that? Don't you know that my faith could never register like that? I could never get my faith to register like that. I must believe that God loves me. I must believe that God is kind. I must believe that God is good. I must look at him as he was in the days of the pilgrimage of his life, when he went about healing all, doing good, always. You don't find where he ever bothered anybody. Isn't that right? Always he did good. Always. The Bible speaks of God like this. When the shepherds were out on the hillside and the Son of God was born, here comes the angel saying, peace on earth, peace on earth. Been a lot of trouble, been a lot of problems since the days of Adam. Never had anything but turmoil, but said now there's peace on earth. The Prince of Peace is here. The Prince of Peace is here. He's just been born in a manger. The Prince of Peace is here. Peace on earth from here on out. For all that can believe it, all of the paths of God are peace. The Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. Come on now, isn't that right? So then, peace on earth. Goodwill toward mankind. Listen to that. Not a bad, evil attitude, but a goodwill from God to Brother Pike. A goodwill from God to Brother Taylor. A goodwill from God to all mankind. Even those that are wretched and evil. Though the Bible said God is angry with them every day, God will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Yet the Bible tells us that God doesn't want to have to do that. Isn't that right? The Bible said God would pursue the wicked till he perishes from off the face of the earth. Isn't that right? That's the Bible. But doesn't he also make the statement that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked? No pleasure. God had rather he'd repent of his sins and come to him. Isn't that right? God had rather he'd repent of his sins, turn away from his evils, and come and be one of his disciples, be one of his children, have the blessings of the Lord. The Bible says that God doth not afflict willingly. It's not God's way to afflict people. The Bible teaches that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly in a great, filled up, overflowing way. But when he speaks of Lucifer and he speaks of Satan, he said, the thief cometh but to rob and to steal and kill and destroy. Isn't that right? He comes to take the little baby out of your arms that Jesus gave you. Jesus will place the little baby in your arms, healthy and whole. But Lucifer comes to take the life of the baby. Is that right? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know the Bible tells us over in the book of Job, God giveth and the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sure, Job had that attitude. But you look down there and see if God took it. You look and read and see if you read where the Bible said that Satan went into the presence of God and said, let me put forth my finger. Let me put forth my finger. Who did it? Was it God that killed Job's sheep? Was it God that killed Job's children? Was it God that caused the whirlwind and the turmoil? Was it? No. Look just beyond the time that Satan came, just prior to that time. You'll find God. Job said, my steps was like walking in butter. Isn't that right? I was so blessed. I was so great and so mighty. I had such great wisdom that when I come into the presence of them that sat at the gate, they waited to hear my words. That was God. That was God's blessing. Is that right? That was God's blessing. That was God. Now then, if I have the right attitude toward God, then I can be healed, I can be saved, I can be forgiven, I can mount up with wings like an eagle, hallelujah. But if I don't have the right attitude, I can never do it. I've got to understand God, that God's attitude toward me is peace. God's attitude toward me is goodwill. That God doesn't have any bad attitude toward me. That's why it is so important that you and I constantly keep our heart clean, keep our mind clean, keep our thoughts clean, do everything we can to live holy so that Satan can't bring in condemnation, so that he can't strike at us, so that he can't point his accusing finger at us. To cause our faith to go down to where he can do something against us. To cause condemnation to where faith will go down to where we will be cut off from the things of God. Let's do everything that we can to please God. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Don't take up any time with it. Stay away from it. But think upon those things that have virtue in them. Think upon those things that are holy. Do things that will build up your faith. Build up your faith. Do things that will make you feel clean and holy. Your faith will be great and mighty. The Bible said, taking the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Just throw up the shield of faith and go right on. Now, is my attitude right toward God? If my attitude isn't right toward God, I can never have salvation. For I feel that he is my enemy. If my attitude isn't right toward God in the understanding of what God is and what God wants for me, I can never have healing because I don't understand God. Where does faith come from? Before you can have faith, you've got to understand God. You've got to understand what kind of God he is, what kind of attitude he's got, what he wants for you. I say again, how can I believe that God will heal me of tuberculosis if I had such? How could I believe that? How could I believe that God would heal me of cancer? How could I believe that God would heal me of a heart condition if I didn't understand that that was his loving desire and will toward me? How could I? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that God wants me to be healed. No, you don't. Some of you down here don't really believe that. You don't really think that way. You're just as negative as you can be in your thoughts toward God. You know what you think? I know God wants me to be healed, and I'm going to live better and do better, and after a while, about another day or two, then another day or two, another day or two, and then after another day or two, another day or two, and after that, another week or two, and after a while, I'm going to get better, and I'm going to get straightened out, and God's going to heal me. You'll never get healed. I'd hate to know that that's the way I had to get saved, wouldn't you? Say, Lord, just wait now, and I'll get a little better, and I'll get a little better, and after a while, you'll have compassion on me, and you'll see that I'm all right, and then I'll be saved. Now, you know God didn't save you like that. Certainly your healing would be far more simple than your salvation, wouldn't you say? How do you believe your healing would be easier for God than your salvation? Now, all God's got to do to heal you is just patch up a little bit of what he's already made. But if God's going to give you salvation, he got to completely translate you. That would be a lot easier. See, if I did absolutely nothing to be saved, absolutely nothing, the Bible said God commended his love toward me while I was yet in my sins. And if God so loved me that while I was yet in my sins, that he gave me the very best of things that heaven could afford, then the Bible said, shall he not with Christ freely give us healing, give us all things? Give us prosperity. Give us blessings. Isn't that right? Are you listening to me? All right, just listen. I'll finish. When I finish, I'll be through. All right, not until. Now then, so then I must have the right attitude toward God. I must understand God. I must know that God is a good, holy, righteous personality, as we would refer to it in human realms. And he was manifested as a personality in the earth through Jesus. I must know that he's my friend, as he was with Abraham. I must believe that. I must be convinced of that. So that when I have financial difficulties, when I have physical problems, I'll just go to him and I'll say, Jesus, thou art my friend. I need your help. He would say, well, sure, friend. What is it you would like to have? Now, isn't that right? Somebody say amen. Isn't that right? Said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. Is that right? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And he said that ye should bear much fruit. It is my pleasure that you bear much fruit. Much fruit. And what does the Bible call the fruit? Said, whatever you ask in my name that you can have it, he calls that fruit. Now somebody said, well, you talking about the fruits of the Spirit, Brother Pike. He said this and that and the fruits of the Spirit. I know he did. But if you'll read in another place, he also said that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask of me, receive from me. I want you to bear much fruit. I want you to be to where you can just say, Father, I want this, and Father, I want that, and Father, I want this, and it just happened. Just like that. Much fruit. I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I will fulfill the number of your years so that you don't have to die premature death. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what is the number of my years? Somebody would say, well, I'm 70 years old. It says it'll be 70, and that's the number of my years, and I'm going to die. Well, that's all right. And then what's the number of your years, Brother Pike? They're without end. Hallelujah! I said, according to the book, they're without end.
said the Ancient of Days. Days without end. Hallelujah. He will satisfy me with a long life. Well, I wouldn't be satisfied with 70 years, would you? Somebody live 70 years and see if you're satisfied with that. Somebody live 170 and see if you're satisfied with that. I tell you what, I got a feeling that Methuselah lived as long as he did and he still wasn't satisfied. He'd like to live on a little longer. The only way that I know that I can be satisfied is with long life. That's life without end. Just give me life without end. I will satisfy thee with life without end. Hallelujah. And what is the number of your days, Brother Pike? Mine are without number. Without number, even from everlasting to everlasting. So I am, I was, and forever shall be in Christ my Lord. For he gives unto me eternal life. You love Jesus? All right. So then, we've got to remember that there in or herein in the Bible, the book of God, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So then, if I have the right attitude toward God, friend, that's what the gospel is for. If I have the right attitude toward God, then I can be healed, I can be saved. I can be healed, I can stay healed. But I cannot be healed as long as I have the wrong attitude or the wrong understanding of God, because I'm going to be wrestling against God. And I'm going to be praying, Lord, heal me. And all the time I think, this is your chastisement upon me. Oh, God, heal me. But I'm being chastened. Oh, God, heal me. But I know I'm being punished for my sins. Oh, God, heal me. But all the time, I'm going to be convinced that this isn't the right season, that if I ever get better, or maybe after a while, or next week. But when I take the attitude that ever since Calvary, there has been peace on earth and goodwill from God toward man. That ever since Calvary, my sins have been forgiven. And without sin, there is no sickness. Without sin, there is no death. But all of my sickness and sins and heartaches and troubles are behind. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, just look at all of them I have. But the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. The devil's going to jump on you many times. But the Bible said God delivered them out of them all. He sent his word and healed. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight, is his word. Believe his word and be healed. Believe his word and be delivered. You understand what I'm saying? Ever since Calvary, we are free. Because today, it's peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Can you believe that? Can you make that little finite thinking power of yours believe that and confide in that? Can you rearrange things in your heart to where you can actually believe in God's word and what God's word said and not lean to your own understanding of what somebody has indoctrinated you with? Brother and sister, if you can, then you can be healthy, you can be whole, you can be prosperous. God will meet all of your needs and you'll feel like a young racehorse. Glory to God. I feel good, don't you? I do. I feel good. The devil was pecking on me the other day. I said, now look, Jesus. I was talking to him, and he was really pecking on me. My heart was hurting me so bad. I said, now Jesus, I said, this thing is really hurting. No make believe about it. I said, now look, if you want me, I'm ready to go. I said, if that's your pleasure, I'm ready to go. I said, but now if you don't, I said, then I'm ready to get rid of the devil and put him on the run. And the Lord said, well, I don't. I want you to do some work. I got something for you to do. I said, devil, get out of here. That takes care of it. That was the end of it. That's right. You say it couldn't be that easy. It was that easy. It was that easy. I said, just get on out of here. That takes care of it. I've got something I must do, and I'm going to do it. You might as well to leave. Have you ever talked to the devil like that? Try it sometimes and see if it don't work. Don't say, you better get out of here, Satan. Hallelujah. Be bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. Hallelujah. I feel so wonderful. I thank God for his wonderful blessings. I believe I'm getting younger and stronger and healthier all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not an old man, but I tell you what, if I get younger and younger, I'm liable to wind up a teenager. The way I feel good. Hallelujah. Every time I have a battle with the devil, I feel even better when I get out of it. That's right. I feel like boasting the more. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. I appreciate you tonight from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And I want you to have the right attitude because I want you to be happy. And I know that that's what it takes to bring happiness because I've been down the trail of sorrows. I know what it takes to bring happiness, and I know what it takes to bring tears. If you can believe, Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe. But you must believe. You can't make believe. You've got to really, genuinely believe that since Calvary, there is no more sorrows and heartaches and afflictions for you. You must believe that. You say, but is that true? That is absolutely the truth. For every believer, and what is a believer? Somebody that believes what I just told you, that ever since Calvary, you're free of all of that. Someone that's willing to make their lives conform to his loving desire and his loving way because he has been so kind to them from the beginning, requiring nothing for his goodness. Somebody would say, well, if I've got to live so good to please him, it looks to me like he's requiring a lot. He required nothing when he picked you up out of the hog pen and washed the dirt off of you. But anybody that's not grateful enough to stay out of the hog pen and take a bath to keep from smelling don't deserve God. You love Jesus? All right, so God's requiring nothing. You're just supposed to have enough love of God to stay out of the mud after he gets you out of it. But the Bible said it has happened to them according to the true proverb. After the sow has been washed, she will go back to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog will return to his vomit. All right? Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I love you, and I appreciate you. I hope we have said something that might encourage you and help you. I love to preach the revelation of Christ, but this is also the revelation of Christ Jesus. The wonderful understanding of Jesus that makes us relative or relate to him. Relative to him or relate to him. That is the wonderful revelation of Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together. You love Jesus. I want to sing this little chorus, Have Faith in God. Can we sing it? Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Deliverance, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Sing it with me again. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love him? I want you to bow your heads with me. I'd like to pray with you tonight. Just bow your heads together for a word of prayer. And let me pray with you. The Bible said, if there be any among you that are afflicted, let them pray. If there be any that are sick, let them call together the elders of the church. anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they have committed any sins, the Bible tells us that they shall be forgiven them. Have you committed any sin? You know, sickness is caused by sin. Have you given place to Satan in some way that has injured your faith, that has let sickness in? If you have, all you have to do is confess your sins. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He is just. He will forgive us our sins. If we call together the elders of the church, let them anoint us with oil and pray over us, then our sins shall be forgiven and we can still have our healing. But the Bible teaches that after God has healed you, then go thy way and sin no more, lest the worst of things should come upon you. Go thy way and sin no more, lest the worst of things should come upon you. So then, to turn away from sin, to believe the word of God, is to receive healing and receive salvation. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads, lift your hands, close your eyes, and let me pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. I see Gary getting better and better. He's walking around, not hopping now. Father of heaven, in the lovely name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your wonderful presence, dear God. I feel the wonderful Holy Ghost, the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, reach out tonight and heal Jesus. Father, I ask of you tonight, heal in the name of Jesus and make well Jesus. And everyone, God, Lord, that's listening, everyone that can hear, you said faith cometh by hearing. Oh God, in hearing by the word of God. So I ask you to heal. Heal, I feel you healing, Jesus. Heal. Oh, glory to God, I feel the yoke being broken. Heal. I feel your spirit, Jesus, as it breaks the yoke. Heal, make well, and forgive, prosper, and bless, Jesus. And oh God, help us to live holy, to worship and serve Thee in the beauty of holiness, Jesus. Oh God, in your great loving name tonight, heal and make us ready to receive Thee and Thy loving kindness. Grant it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him? Let's sing this little chorus together and we'll let you go. You believe tonight? Lord, I believe. Can you sing it with me? Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Do you believe? Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Now sing like this. Jesus is here. Sing it with me. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here.
is here. Hallelujah. While we stand together for just a moment, I hope that everything is clear in your heart and in your life and your mind. And I hope that you have the right feeling toward God, toward your fellow man. I hope you have the right feeling, the right understanding toward your Creator. Because He wants to do such wonderful things for you. Such glorious things God wants to do for you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a woman standing here tonight. She just wishes that she could believe that. You can, sister. You can tonight. You can believe that. You can believe it. It is true. Why wouldn't He want you to be happy? He made my hands. He made my body. He made my eyes. He made my teeth. He made me to speak. He made me to see. He made me to have a wonderful appetite. He made the lovely trees to give me the golden, delicious apples that fit my appetite. He makes me to enjoy the waters, and He makes the big billowing tide to come in to where I can feel the wonderful spray of its fawning billows as it comes in. He made me to enjoy the breeze, and then He sent the breeze so that I could enjoy it. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. That's the way God thinks. That's the way God thinks. That's the way He thinks of you. He made a beautiful horse. Made a beautiful butterfly. Isn't that right? Made the beautiful stars and the beautiful raindrops. Made the beautiful roses. Made the beautiful smile of a Christian. That's God. That's God. And then He sits back and He looks and He's well pleased with all that He's done. I know that the enemy comes in and he sows some tares among the wheat. He tries to disfigure, distort, cripple, maim, break down, cause fears, heartaches, sorrows, perplexities, bewilderments, griefs. But Jesus will wipe it all away just by faith. Just by faith. God will wipe it all out of your life. You might say, I just can't believe that, but it's true. It's true. David said, my heart is fixed and evil tidings shall not trouble me. He'll wipe it all out of your life. So easy, so simple. And make you so happy. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting the sins that are behind. Forgetting the heartaches that are behind. Forgetting the troubles that are behind. His mercies are new every day. Let's take His mercy for today. And really enjoy ourselves in Jesus. Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, in the lovely Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Can you sing it one more time with me, and I'm going to let you go. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe all things are possible.